Hebrews 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Much of what is said here has to do with brotherly love. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Verse 3, remember them that are in bonds. Verse 4, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. Verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness. It's impossible to love someone and at the same time covet what they have or the peace they have or what have you. But I want this morning to look just at this first verse, let brotherly love continue. Throughout this Hebrew letter, the Holy Spirit has warned us about turning from Christ to the old covenant, to Mount Sinai. The moment we do so, we begin to flatter ourselves with our own self-righteousness. And we begin to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think of ourselves. And the ones who always suffer the most at the end of our self-righteous whip is our brethren. So having urged the brethren throughout this letter to continue on by faith in Christ, it's appropriate to include this word of instruction. Let brotherly love continue. Now, first of all, if we would continue in brotherly love, then we must continue in the faith. In order to understand something of brotherly love, we must look to the firstborn among many brethren. We must look to Christ Jesus the Lord. He accomplished the redemption of those given him by doing two things simultaneously. He loved his Father, and at the same time, he loved his brethren. He loved his Father by loving the brethren with whom the Father entrusted him. And he loved his brethren by honoring the Father. If no matter what great thing your brother or your sister has done for you, no matter how great a thing they did for you, how nice an act they performed for you or whatever they did for you, if they turn around then and treat your father with everything but love and dishonor him and disrespect him, it's almost impossible for you to look upon what they did to you as an act of love. How could you love, consider that your brother, your sister, was doing something for you in love when they treated your father disrespectfully, didn't trust him, didn't obey him? How do you honor your Heavenly Father? How do you honor your Heavenly Father? How did Christ do it? God the Father purposed to save a multitude. God the Son entered into covenant agreement to accomplish their redemption. And he did that. We couldn't accomplish it, but God accomplished it in the person of his Son, who was a son who was faithful as a son over his own house. He had to be faithful. He had to be perfectly faithful because we couldn't be. We'll look a little bit more at that in our message today. But he had to be perfectly faithful because even when he gives us faith to trust him, sin's mixed with everything we do. Our faith is sanctified. Our faith is made holy by him. because of what he accomplished. Well, I can't love like that. I can't believe God the way he did. I can't honor God the way he did. I can't obey the law, and I can't answer to the law's penalty. But God the Father, to honor God the Father, he doesn't command you and I to do that. He commands you and I to trust his Son, who did it for his brethren. So if we're going to honor the Father, we have to honor the Son. And honoring the Son, trusting him, believing on him, we honor the Father. And we have to continue in faith, trusting Christ alone, if we're going to show any brotherly love whatsoever. No matter what we do for our brethren, it's not love if we don't honor their heavenly Father by faith in his Son. Anything less than that is not brotherly love. It's just not. Now, secondly, if we would continue in brotherly love, then we must take the oversight of our brethren. How did Christ care for his brethren? He obeyed God and he served the brethren. He came down to where we are. He humbled himself. He took the place of his brethren. He bore the pain of their sin. He comforted them with his righteousness. And he gave the unspeakable gift to his brethren. He gave his life for his brethren. Look over at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That's not saying go around wishing you had what others had. It means take the oversight of your brethren. Take care of your brethren. Now listen, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Those in whom Christ dwells, those in whom the Spirit of Christ dwells, are constrained by his love for us. You notice here, he doesn't say, let brotherly love begin. He says, let brotherly love continue. Because he's speaking to those who've been born of the Spirit of God. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. They love one another. It's not that they don't love one another. The believer loves his brethren, and he loves the Lord. Wishes he loved them more without sin, but he loves them by the Spirit of grace working in his heart. But this one who had every right to make himself of reputation, because he is God, this one made himself of no reputation, humbled himself to serve his brethren. So we who have no right to make ourselves of any reputation, we who have no place to make ourselves of any reputation at all, ought we not to humble ourselves and to serve our brethren as he did? He honored the Father. Honoring the Father and loving our brethren are inseparable. You can't separate those two. You cannot have one without having the other. It's an impossibility to have a love for God without a love for the brethren. Because those who are born of God, born of his Spirit, it's going to be there. And if you have, you see somebody who talks about the doctrine, they may wrestle with you tooth and nail over doctrine. And yet, they'd kill you if they could. They are so hateful about it. And if push comes to shove, they'll leave you. They'll leave you, they'll leave the brethren, or they'll kick you out, or whatever they have to do if you don't line up with their doctrine. But they show no love at all. None. The man or woman born of God, he loves God and he loves his brethren. The two can't be separated. And where there's a love for God, there always is a love for brethren. And notice, he took the oversight for us before we asked him to take the oversight for us. He took the oversight of his brethren without his brethren having to say, "Would you take the oversight for me?" Look over at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And you bear in mind too, brethren, that he was offended. The offense that he came to put away was the result of our sin. It was the result of us offending him. So everything that he did in serving us, he was the offended party. And yet he came and served and provided himself a sacrifice to take away the sin that he was offended by. Now look here at verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He took the oversight. We wouldn't have asked him to. And he took it upon himself to care for his brethren. Beloved, if God so loved us, if this is how he loved us, freely, without us asking, when he was the offended party, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, you know how you've heard me say, the closest thing that those who hate God, the closest thing they have to killing Christ all over again are the believers, those whom Christ has saved. What he's saying to us right here is, the closest thing you have to seeing God in this life is one in whom his Spirit dwells. Listen, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. That means we're going to love him, and we're going to love our brethren. And we see how to love. The only way we know how to love is by how he loved us. How does a husband know how to love his bride? By looking at how Christ loved his bride. How does a father know how to love his children? By looking at how God the Father loved his children, his Son, Christ the Lord. How do we know how to serve our masters, our employers, and work before our employers? We look at the master and see how he served the Father. And we don't know how to do anything unless we look at him and discover, how do I love somebody? How do I serve him? How do I love my brethren? We love our brethren like he did. Now, Scott made a point a few weeks ago in the back, I think, was where we were. And look at Colossians 3, verse 23. Colossians 3, 23. It says, whatsoever ye do, that encompasses what? Whatsoever ye do. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Now, the truth of that statement is, as Scott brought this out, is that whatever men do, and truthfully, whatever all men do, it's done to the Lord. Not as if it was done unto the Lord. It's done to the Lord. And I can say that about the believer and about all men for this reason. Everything that every man does, whether we know Christ, trust Him, or we don't trust Him, everything that every man does is either done for the Lord's people or it's done against the Lord's people. There's no middle ground on that. It's cut and dry. It's either done for the Lord's people or it's done against them. And this is what the Lord said. The king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So, if the Lord was here, if He was here, would you wash His feet with your tears and dry His feet with your hair? Would you bow down before Him and thank Him and love Him and cherish Him and honor Him? Well, He says, as much as you've done it unto one of these, the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me. What motivation for a believer to know that our brethren are so one with the Lord and our Lord so one with our brethren that what we do for them, we do for Him. Isn't that amazing? So, first off, brotherly love means we have to continue in the faith honoring the Father, because we can't honor our brethren. We can't love our brethren if we don't honor their Father, the one they love. And then secondly, brotherly love means taking the oversight, the care of our brethren. Now, looking at those two things, I want to give you something to think about here. These brethren were enduring trials within the church because of pressure from those who would turn them back to the law, to the flesh, to the strength of their own hand. It would be no love at all. It'd be no love at all towards their brethren for one to do that and leave his brethren or urge them to do the same thing. It wouldn't be showing them love whatsoever. It wouldn't be love because it ceases to honor God, it ceases to honor Christ our Lord, and it's not showing true love to our brethren either. But this is the word to us, brethren, and make sure we understand how we understand this word, let brotherly love continue. Make sure you understand how to receive this. The reason we're urged to continue in brotherly love is because we have that old evil nature, self-righteous nature within us still. Those who are exhorted to continue loving have that old sinful nature within them, who would want you to be self-righteous towards somebody when they do something to offend you. But the exhortation is to you who are treated spitefully by a brother who's being self-righteous towards you. Listen now. The problem with the Hebrew brethren, the main problem that they're being exhorted and encouraged with here throughout this book is to look to Christ. And don't look back to the flesh. But knowing that old evil nature is within the brethren in the church, they're going to struggle with this thing. They're struggling with it, and there's going to be brethren who may say, well, I believe we can only eat certain things. I believe we need to abstain from certain things. And the word is, when the brother is like that, and he's, or maybe he's coming to you with the law, and trying to yoke you with the law and scold you with the law. The word is, don't let that change your attitude towards him whatsoever. He's a brother. Love him and encourage him. Now, it's a whole different ball game. We're not talking about like those at the church of Galatia who were saying, this is a necessity that you're going to have to go back to the law and mix law and grace. We're talking about those who truly profess Christ to be their all, but they still have those old grave clothes of the law, and they have not, there's stuff they haven't let go of. That's the ones we're talking about here. We're not talking about that other. But who is it? Who is it that the Holy Spirit calls on, always calls on in Scripture to help a fellow brother who has fallen into that sort of problem? Look at Galatians 6 with me. Galatians 6. Do you think they had this problem in the church at Galatia? They did. In fact, I just quoted to you from Colossians. Were they having this problem in the church at Colossae? As long as we're in this flesh, brethren, right here in this group right here, we're going to have this problem. We're going to have it because by nature, we want to come to God some other way than in Christ. And we want to exalt ourselves over somebody, and we'll use whatever means it takes to do it, even God's word, to crawl up on their backs and stand on the top of our brother's shoulders and try to exalt ourselves over them. We'll use God's own law and his own word to do it. And he says, when somebody does that, listen, verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, who's called on here? Ye which are spiritual. Ye which are spiritual. Restore such a one. Restore him where? Restore him to what? Restore him to whom? Restore him back to Christ. In love. Look, in the spirit of meekness. Considering thyself. Guarding against thyself, guarding against that old legalistic nature within you, lest thou also be tempted. He's saying, you don't take a verse like, let brotherly love continue, and break that out on a man who's trying to scold you. You don't turn around then and break that out on him and say, now this is what Scripture says, you need to be loving your brethren. If you were really a brother, you'd be loving him. No, he says, this word's to you. When the man does that to you, don't stop loving him. Don't stop loving him. Restore him in the spirit of meekness. And remember, you'll be the one doing it next. You'll be the one doing it next time. And restore him in a spirit of meekness. And he says here, bear ye one another's burdens. That man that's doing that, the brother that's saying that, or the sister that's saying something like that, they're under a heavy burden. They've come back under the burden of that law, that heavy yoke, that bondage, and they have a burden. And he said, help them bear it. Help them bear it. How do you help them bear it? Restore them back to Christ. Tell them some more about Christ, about how he's, you know, and it's just try to find an opportunity to turn the subject to Christ. Try to find an opportunity to share with them what you've been studying about Christ, and whatever you do, abstain from any appearance of evil. Try your best not to talk anything at all about what they ought to be doing. Just show them what Christ did. And that heavy burden that they're under begin to come off of them. They'll begin to see, they'll have that light and easy yoke on them again. And he says, and by doing this, brethren, in so doing, he says, you fulfill the law of Christ. This is what Christ did. This is what Christ did for us. This is loving our brethren. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. That brother's deceived if he thinks he's something by the law. And we're deceived if we think we're something and able to correct him, to bring out our sword of legalism and do battle with his sword of legalism. It won't work. We got one sword, and it's the word of God is Christ our Lord, and we just restore him with him. And I'll show you one more place, Romans 14:1. Now, I said to you that Christ was offended by our sin. What we did offended the offense. He was the offended party. That's what I'm saying. He was the offended party. These things, brethren, what the Hebrew writer is teaching us here is this is offensive. It's offensive to us whenever a brother or a sister does something legalistic, whether it's to us or anybody else. It's offensive because it's offensive to our Father, our Heavenly Father, and it's offensive to our Lord, and therefore it's offensive to us. So this is not an easy thing to let brotherly love continue. This is some difficulty here because our first impulse is to say, well, I'll just fix you. I'll fix you. And then we're just right there in the same shoes with them. But look here, verse 14:1. So who is it that's called on always here? Who's this word, let love, brotherly love continue? Look at Romans 14:1. Him that's weak in the faith, receive ye, and don't doubt him. Don't receive him and start doubting him. Just receive him. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Now, who's the weak or who's the strong here? Another who is weak, he only eats herbs. Let not him that eateth, that's the man who can eat all things. He knows he has liberty in Christ. He's not bound to these dietary laws anymore. But let him that eateth despise, don't let him despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God's able to make him stand. You see, what we're really saying, when we don't let love continue, when we don't let grace continue, when we don't let long-suffering continue, what we're really saying is, I don't think you're able to stand, Michelle, unless I help you stand. That's taking a whole lot on us, isn't it? That's putting ourselves in God's seat. That's putting ourselves in the master's position. He said, receive him. Don't doubt him. Love him. Be gracious to him. Be long-suffering to him. Be a brother to him. That's what he's saying. Look down at verse 13, and I'll stop. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So if your brother is grieved with your meat, now walkest thou not charitably. In other words, if he's grieved with what you're free to eat, and to him that's sin for you to eat it, when you're with him, don't eat it. If he don't think you can have a glass of wine when you're with him, don't drink wine. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Because he's going to be sitting there the whole time thinking, oh, it's just, I shouldn't even be here with him. Be gracious to him. Don't put up occasion for him to stumble in his way. And let not, verse 16, let not then your good be evil spoken of. There it is. There it is. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not what you're able to do or not able to do, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. That's it. That's it. So let me just review. Brotherly love comes down to this. Trust God our Savior with all that we have and are, continuing by faith in Christ. Not going back to legalism. Not using that yoke and that whip on one another. And if somebody uses it on us, no, his master's able to make him stand. And it means giving ourselves to provide and to encourage and to edify one another regardless of what it costs us. If it's painful to us, if we've been offended by them, However we express our love for one another, let it be to lead each other to the author and finisher of faith. If we can get to Him, we'll soon realize that none of us has ever been faithful like He is. And we're going to stand in Him and Him alone. All right.